It was he who coined the term Big Bang in a moment of facetiousness for a radio broadcast in 1952. He pointed out that nothing in our understanding of physics could account for why everything, gathered to a point, would suddenly and dramatically begin to expand. Hoyle favoured a steady-state theory in which the universe was constantly expanding and continually creating new matter as it went. Hoyle also realised that if stars imploded, they would liberate huge amounts of heat, 100 million degrees or more, enough to begin to generate the heavier elements in a process known as nucleosynthesis. In 1957, working with others, Hoyle showed how the heavier elements were formed in supernova explosions. For this work, W.A. Fowler, one of his collaborators, received a Nobel Prize. Hoyle, shamefully, did not. According to Hoyle's theory, an exploding star would generate enough heat to create all the new elements and spray them into the cosmos, where they would form gaseous clouds, the interstellar medium, as it is known, that could eventually coalesce into new solar systems. With the new theories, it became possible at last to construct plausible scenarios for how we got here. What we now think we know is this. About 4.6 billion years ago, a great swirl of gas and dust, some 15 billion miles across, accumulated in space where we are now and began to aggregate. Virtually all of it, 99.9% of the mass of the solar system, went to make the sun. Out of the floating material that was left over, two microscopic grains floated close enough together to be joined by electrostatic forces. This was the moment of conception for our planet. All over the inchoate solar system, the same was happening. Colliding dust grains formed larger and larger clumps. Eventually, the clumps grew large enough to be called planetesimals. As these endlessly bumped and collided, they fractured or split or recombined in endless random permutations. But in every encounter, there was a winner, and some of the winners grew big enough to dominate the orbit around which they travelled. It all happened remarkably quickly. To grow from a tiny cluster of grains to a baby planet, some hundreds of miles across, is thought to have taken only a few tens of thousands of years. In just 200 million years, possibly less, the Earth was essentially formed, though still molten and subject to constant bombardment from all the debris that remained floating about. At this point, about 4.5 billion years ago, an object the size of Mars crashed into Earth, blowing out enough material to form a companion sphere, the Moon. Within weeks, it is thought, the flung material had reassembled itself into a single clump, and within a year it had formed into the spherical rock that companions us yet. Most of the lunar material, it is thought, came from the Earth's crust, not its core, which is why the Moon has so little iron, while we have a lot. The theory, incidentally, is almost always presented as a recent one, but in fact it was first proposed in the 1940s by Reginald Daly of Harvard. The only recent thing about it is people paying any attention to it.